Yesterday, in Topeka, Kansas, was the funeral of a beloved man. Several of us from here in Northwest Arkansas got to know Paul Orbaum as he attended the Feast of Tabernacles with him and his wife just 2 months ago as we were in Estonia, Eastern Europe. Paul was always gracious, and he was kind throughout the feast. Now, during one of our feast meals, his wife mentioned that her husband Paul was the nicest man she has ever known. They raised 5 children, 3 girls and 2 boys. But 2 weeks ago, Paul fell ill and went to the hospital, thinking he was stricken with pneumonia. Ultimately and unfortunately, Paul was suffering from an aggressive form of cancer that would take his life within days. It was Thursday evening this week. We went to the funeral in Topeka, Kansas. The receiving line for the viewing at the funeral home extended outside of the building. At the funeral on Friday morning, it was standing room only. Paul was a high school teacher. His superintendent wrote a glowing commentary in his obituary that was online. The superintendent of this huge public school in the capital city of the state of Kansas took special efforts to exclaim that Paul was everything a Christian could hope to be. The funeral service on Friday, again, was standing room only. I counted about 160 people in the room in the main hall of the funeral home. Others were standing along the walls and in the foyer. And during the funeral service, several of Paul's children spoke fondly and at length about their father. Paul's brother then and sister got up, and they reiterated just how nice of a man he was. The school principal spoke of his outstanding qualities, and one of his students, who had graduated 40 years ago, spoke of Paul's patience and gentle nature. As we walked away from that funeral service, a number of us wondered how we could ever measure up to the Christian example that was set by Paul Orbaum. We felt as though we all had so much more to do to be considered to be such an acceptable or likable person. Well, I happened to come across an article in Forbes magazine that explored the reasons why some people are particularly likable. It was called the article is entitled 13 Habits of Exceptionally Likable People by Travis Bradbury. I want to go over some of those things and help reveal as to why our friend Paul Orbaum, why people liked him, loved his Christian example, but didn't agree with his doctrines, but just loved who he was and what he did. So I want to go in reverse order here, because there was a University of California of Los Angeles study where they took 500 adjectives or descriptions based on their significance to likability. And they did a survey, and they rated the top-rated adjectives didn't have anything to do with being gregarious or intelligent or attractive, things that you may be born with. Instead, the top adjectives were sincerity, transparency, the capacity for understanding another person. We would call that empathy. And these adjectives describe people who are skilled in the social side of what we call emotional intelligence. And they took the research data from more than 1 million people that the people who possess those skills just aren't highly likable. They outperform other people by a significant margin. And so this article went on to explore what those characteristics were for people who were exceptionally likable. And the 13th one on the list is those people ask questions. If they're a likable person, they ask questions. And often it seems that the biggest mistake that people make is that when it comes to listening, they're so focused on what they're going to say next that they miss what the other person is, or the first person is saying. And so they miss some of what's said, and the words come through loud and clear, but then the meaning is lost. And of course, the article writer said a simple way to avoid this is to ask a lot of questions, and the likable people do. That means that people are listening to you if you're asking questions, or you know that they know that you're listening to them. And from that, people gain respect and appreciation just by simply asking questions. We're instructed in the Bible to ask questions, to seek knowledge, to seek truth. In Luke 11:9, we read Christ's words, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." And we go to the next verse, Luke 11:10. "For everyone who receives for everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him knocks, it will be opened." This is mirrored in Matthew 7:7 and 8. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." And of course, this means people have to be curious. They have to have a curious mindset. If you're going to ask a question, you've got to have a question to ask. In Proverbs 8:17, we are given this instruction that God says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." Normally, you don't get directions and know where to go unless you inquire, you seek how to get there, where are we going, how to do it. And the ones that don't ask how to get where they're going generally don't get there, or certainly don't get there timely. In Jeremiah 29:13, we read the instruction, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me." And then there's these few words on the end of that that says, "with all my heart." So there is a condition. Seeking, questioning has to be serious. It has to be with all my heart. So the 13th characteristic on the list is asking questions, be curious. The 12th characteristic of extremely likable people is, and of course this is in modern context, they put away their phones. So number 12 is to put away their phones. And the writer, Mr. Bradbury here, says nothing will turn someone off like in a mid-conversation text message or a quick glance at your phone. When you commit to a conversation, focus your energy on that conversation. Your conversation will be enjoyable and effective when you immerse yourself in them. And of course, phones are the biggest distraction that we have going in schools today, if not everywhere else. Recently, this last week, I read an article, a high school principal in another state established a No Phone Friday at lunch, so that every Friday, no phones at lunch, students put away, they drew their numbers in a rotation, and they had assigned seating in the cafeteria. And I thought, wow, that's a wild idea. And the whole idea was just to get people to focus their attention on one-on-one relationships. If you go through, and I dare say any school, that has a phone, you will find a high school that you will find telephones. You will see them all looking at their phone when you wouldn't have seen that 10 or 20 years ago, where it certainly wasn't as ubiquitous as it is today. So when someone's on the phone or they're distracted constantly, we can go to Psalm 119 and verse 69. We're also going to look at verse 145. The proud, because the second half of the verse in Psalm 119:69, "I will keep your precepts with my whole heart," which is a little different. I'll talk to you as long as I don't get interrupted by my cell phone. So the focus is very, very important here. The same thing is in Psalm 119:145. "I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep your statutes." So this whole idea of focusing on other people is absolutely critical if you expect to be likable. We have this explanation when Christ was being questioned in Mark 12:28, and one of the scribes came and said, "What is the first commandment of all?" And Mark 12:29, Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, with all your strength.' This is the first commandment." Focusing our love where it belongs. We're not distracted by other things. And that's true in our relationship with God, because we have to ask our question. You might want to put a title to this message is, how likable are we to God? Comparing it to other people, well, how likable are we to other people? How likable are we to God? So point 12 was to focus our attention by putting away our phones. point 11, and we're working our way down to one. Point 11 is extremely likable people are genuine. By being genuine and honest is essential to being likable. No one likes a fake. People gravitate to those who are genuine because they can trust them. It's difficult to like someone that you don't know who they really are and how they really feel. Likable people know who they are. They're confident enough to be comfortable in their own skin. By concentrating on what drives you, makes you happy as an individual, you become a much more interesting person than if you attempt to win people over by making choices that you think will impress them or make them like you. We noticed that when Mr. Jones spoke here several weeks ago about being genuine. We could feel that. We could see that when he was speaking with us. We turn to Psalm 34, verses 12 through 14. In this genuineness. And how do you demonstrate genuineness? Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Now, the King James Version says guile. Keep from speaking guile. You want people to trust you. And so that's one way to encourage that trust. In Psalm 32:2, we also hear, in fact, we have a song like that, one of our hymns. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity or sin, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Again, King James would say there is no guile. And that's pretty important, to be genuine without guile. If we look at the end of time, when the judgment comes, we read in Revelation 14:5, when we read about the characteristics of the people that God is bringing into the kingdom of God, and there is a description going on in Revelation 14, what, 5 through, and four, verse, and the running up to it, and in their mouth was found no deceit or guile. Before the throne of God. So, number 11, likable people are genuine. They don't have guile. Characteristic number 10 is likable people don't pass judgment. Well, I'm going to reword that one slightly. Extremely likable people are not quick to condemn, because we have this word judgment is overused in society these days. So the writer writes, if you want to be likable, be open-minded. Means be approachable and interesting to others. No one wants to have a conversation with someone who's already formed an opinion and is not willing to listen. And I'm sure we've all had those conversations with people, with those who have already made their mind up no matter what subject you have and are quite willing to share that they are not interested in what you have to say. In Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. So if we're not quick to condemn, we're careful, we're patient. And again, in Proverbs, we're close by in Proverbs 15, in verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So being patient, being careful, not being quick to condemn, being thoughtful ahead of time, makes a person more likable, and that is what God is looking for, are these characteristics that he's written in his handbook for us. In James 1:19, you probably already said this over in your mind, when James writes, "Beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And, oh, there are times when I wish that I would have been a little slower from time to time before making a decision. So a summary of number 10 is don't be quick to condemn. Do not be quick to condemn. Number 9, extremely likable people. They don't seek attention. We might say, with regard to God, we exhibit humility. God is going to like someone who is not continually self-seeking. On this study that Forbes mentions, there are people, most people are averse to those who are desperate for attention. You don't need to develop a big extroverted personality to be likable. Simply being friendly and considerate is all you need to win people over. When you speak in friendly, confident, and concise manner, You'll notice people are much more attentive and persuadable than if you try to show them you're important. People catch on to your attitude quickly and are more attracted to the right attitude. When you're being given attention is when you're being recognized for an accomplishment. And then the likable people shift their focus to all the people that worked hard to help you get there. And that also goes back to the genuineness discussion. Let's turn to Matthew 6:1. In Matthew 6:1, we're instructed to be careful or take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. If you're doing it merely because you want to be seen, that's an attention seeking. And you have your reward. That is your reward. Don't expect a reward for God to give you points for that. In James 4, verse 10, we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The third instruction under that one we read in Proverbs 27:2, and I am flooding you with a number of verses here, but they seem to fit so well with some of these instructions on how to be exceptionally likable. In Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger, meaning to praise, and not your own lips. So if we look at number 9, extremely likable people don't seek attention. They are humble, and when attention comes to them, they will include others that help them to get whatever accomplishment that they've reached. The 8th characteristic. And extremely likable people are consistent. As the article writes, there's few things that make you more unlikable than when you're all over the place. When people approach you, they like to know who they're dealing with and what sort of response they can expect. To be consistent, you must be reliable, and you must ensure that even when your mood goes up and down, it doesn't affect how you treat other people. Some people drive with their emotions. They're angry at home, and they get on the road, and they take it out on the next person down the highway. Or things didn't go well at work, and boy, you better watch out now on the road on the way. They're highly inconsistent in their behavior. We can look to the example that God has shown to us on the importance of being consistent and consistently good. In Psalm 33, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the wisdom of God, the plans of his heart to all generations. So God is consistent over time. It's not just us. God was consistent to our parents, our grandparents, as well as to our children and grandchildren. The verse you're thinking of is Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Don't be blown about. So be consistent, know the truth, and be consistent. In Ephesians 4:14, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful planning. So it's important to know the truth and then be consistent with that truth. So a summary of number 8 is the exceptionally likable people are consistent. For the application for us is to model our behavior after Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Characteristic number 7. Extremely likable people use positive body language. As the article goes, becoming cognizant of your gestures, expressions, and tone of your voice, and making certain that they're positive will draw people to you like ants to a picnic. Using an enthusiastic tone, uncrossing your arms, maintaining eye contact, leaning toward the person who's speaking, are all forms of positive body language that high EQ, emotionally intelligent people, use to draw others in. Positive body language can make all the difference in a conversation. It's true that how you say something can be more important than what you say. And the example we have of this is in Ephesians 6:14, when we're told how to stand when we're standing for the truth. In Ephesians 6:14, we're told to stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. We're told, take that bold stand. Be right there. Use the truth as your defense in life. So point 7 is an exceptionally likable person uses positive body language. Now, I remember as a young man out of college, and I'm at my first professional job, and there was a meeting of all of the people from all of the employees from quite a distance around, and I was attending a meeting, and my boss afterwards asked me if I was interested in the subject. I hadn't thought about it. I was leaning the wrong way. I wasn't leaning forward. I was leaning backwards. I may have had my arms crossed instead of, you know, palms up and open. So using positive body language is critical for other people to show that we're likable. And it's the same with God. He expects good body language to be able to defend the truth. So point seven is using positive body language. Characteristic number six of an extremely likable person is they leave a strong first impression. The article goes on to say, research shows most people decide whether or not they like you within the first 7 seconds of meeting you. They then spend the rest of the conversation internally justifying their initial reaction. And that sounds somewhat terrifying, but by knowing this, you can take advantage of it to make huge gains in your likability. First impressions are tied intimately to positive body language. A strong posture, a firm handshake, smiling and opening your shoulders to the person you're talking to will help ensure that your first impression is a good one. We want to be seen as thoughtful and wise. If we turn to Ephesians 5:15, we're instructed, as Paul wrote to those in Ephesus, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Meaning making good use of those first 7 seconds, redeem the time, because that's where your impression is going to be made, where other people will either receive you or not. And there's one other verse that's critical here in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, and I'm going to read this in the Modern English Version, the MEV, because this is the way I constantly think of this one. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearances of evil. Now, when I was a young man, I was in college, and I went to a Baptist college, which had a strict no-drinking policy. But it was my first time away from home, and I was curious. I'd never been in a liquor store before. And there was one just 2 or 3 blocks away from campus. So I'm just going to go look and see what it looks like. And I did. And wow, this was an interesting, and I'd just never been to one before. And who do you suppose was in the checkout line? Was the campus pastor's son buying a purchase of stuff? I wasn't buying anything. I was there out of curiosity. And I thought, oh no, I'm in trouble now. And then I thought, hey, wait a minute. He can't rat me out, because then he would say he's there. And I thought, I have to abstain from the appearance of evil in the eyes of the school. So I didn't want to make that mistake again. He'd never made it the 4 years to school because he was distracted by other things, as you may imagine. So number six is leaving a strong first impression, or avoiding the appearance of evil, walking circumspectly, making good those decisions on the first impression. Characteristic number five, greet people by name. If you want to be extremely likable, then greet them by name. As the Mr. Bradbury in the article goes on to say, your name is an essential part of your identity. And it feels terrific when other people use it. Likable people make certain they use other people's names every time they see them. You shouldn't use someone's name only when you greet them. Research shows that people feel validated when the person they're speaking with refers to them by name during a conversation. If you're great with faces but have trouble with names, have some fun with it and make remembering people's names a brain exercise. When you meet someone, don't be afraid to ask her name a second time if you forget it right after you hear it. You'll need to keep the name handy if you're going to remember it the next time you see the person. Now, I know that electrical memory is what? Can last 5 seconds to a minute or two. But if you repeat the name, then it goes into chemical memory and you can recall it later. And of course, I, as a teacher, I have, over the years, I've had thousands of students. And I get 150 of them each year, and usually some semester classes I rotate, and I get a new half of them, another 70 or 75, which will be coming up next week in January. And I've got to learn all these names, and to use them every day. And I assure them, on the first day of the school year in the fall, I say, rest assured that I will learn all of your names by Thanksgiving. And everything is quiet for a moment. And I have students that are freshmen, and then I have students later, several years later, at different classes that are juniors and seniors. And an upperclassman who had me before, I could hear whispered a little bit too loudly and said, "He's not kidding." It was a challenge to remember their name. So I have them put the name placards out on their desk in front, make a triangle piece of paper, put it out there. And they said, "What do we have to do that for? Because you've got a seating arrangement you have." And I said, "Because if I call you by name, you will feel good, I will feel good, and everybody else will learn your name as well. But if I forget, we're all going to feel bad. And what if I have a sudden Alzheimer's attack and I can't remember your name?" I said, "By having your little placard out there, nobody will know the difference, and I will just smooth right on over it, and you will all, I will call you by name, everything will be fine." "Oh, okay." And so I have them, and they have their little name placards every day, because I know it's critical, and it's important for people to feel positive. When we go to the feast, we normally have our little name placards on for this very reason, that we want to learn the names of the people, and other people can know who we are as well. 1 Thessalonians in 5:11. I'm going to read this in the Common English Bible. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "So in continue encouraging each other and building each other up, just like you are doing already." Well, how can you encourage each other if you can't remember each other's names? You don't know. You know that guy, the one that thus and such, who's related to so-and-so. You know, in your own mind, you need to be able to put some identification with them to be able to build them up, to encourage them. So the fifth characteristic of an extremely likable person would be to greet people by name. And God has that expectation for us in order to be able to encourage other people. The fourth characteristic, and we're working our way up to the most popular characteristics of extremely likable people, is the fourth characteristic is they smile. The author writes, "People naturally and unconsciously mirror the body language of the person they're talking to. If you want people to like you, smile at them during a conversation, and they will unconsciously return the favor and feel good as a result." My father tells of a time when in the hometown at the local hotel had an upstairs, the second floor, were professional offices. There was a doctor and a lawyer and an accountant. And they shared the second floor of the hotel, and then the residents all had the upper floors, or the people that went to the hotel. And so one day the hoteler downstairs and the accountant and the lawyer got together, and they said, "Let's play a trick on the doctor." So when the doctor walked into the office this morning, the hotel owner said, "Are you feeling okay today, Doc?" He said, "Oh, sure, I'm fine." And he went upstairs, went to work, and the lawyer said, "Hey, Doc, you're not looking so good. Are you feeling all right?" Doc said, well, yeah, I am." A little while later, the accountant passed by and says, "Ooh, Doc, are you all right today?" Well, he started to worry and get nervous, and he went home by noon because he was so anxious that everybody thought he was feeling bad. He was mirroring their expectations of him. What are our expectations of other people? If we smile, we're going to bring them up. In Proverbs 15:30, and this is in the New English Translation, the NET Bible, in Proverbs 15:30 we read, "A bright look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the body." Who doesn't like that? Who doesn't like joy to the heart and good news, health to the body? What a smile will bring. We're in Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 17, verse 22. And I'm going to go to the Good News Translation for this one. In Proverbs 17, 22, be cheerful. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. It is slow death to be gloomy all the time. So this idea of smiling, it can be contagious and helpful, not just for yourself, but for other people. And the last or the third verse here on this one in Proverbs 16, 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So being smiling is very, very important. I got a short email message from a teacher who had moved away to teach at another school and sent a message through here a few days ago that said, what I miss about the old school is when I ask how you're doing, every day you say, every day is a good day. And was reminding, and I try to remind people that every day was a good day, and they didn't think about it that way. Well, how do you do that? Well, the best way is, of course, to smile, to give them something uplifting to smile about. The third characteristic of an extremely likable person is, according to the article, they know when to open up. Be careful to avoid sharing personal problems and confessions too quickly, as this will get you labeled a complainer. Likable people let the other person guide when it's the right time for them to open up. Now, of course, and I've heard this over and over again, people will quote James 5:16, confess your trespasses or faults to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. And they say, therefore, we're just going to plop it all out there. They're going to tell it like it is. Now, no filter. This is how I feel, and you're going to know about it real quick, like sort of like Rodney Dangerfield. The comedian said he got no respect when he was little. They told him he was dumb and ugly, and his mother dressed him funny. Well, that's not. That's maybe somebody felt that way about it. Probably not the best idea to share that with someone. I know the late Zig Ziglar, a motivational speaker and writer, explained it this way: if you have a goal to go up, to increase your success, to increase your position in life, you would share that with those who would support that. And if you have a go-down goal, that you want to give up something, you would share it with everyone so they can all be your policemen and all make sure that you things that you want to give up. I thought that was interesting. Go only give the go-up goals, the ones that you personally want to. You only share that with people that can help you do so. Would you give your go-up goal to your arch competitor and say, I'm going to be number one in this area of the world or in this area of the business? Wouldn't necessarily draw you to them. My dad, and this point here about knowing when to open up, I remember a quote from my dad, and I'm sure he got it from somebody, but he said, so-and-so missed a perfect opportunity to keep his mouth shut. And that rings in my mind from time to time, is that I dare not violate that opportunity to keep my mouth shut. In Proverbs 11:13, I'm going to read this one, Proverbs 11:13, out of the Common English Bible. A slanderer walks around revealing secrets, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. They're trustworthy. They can keep a confidence. If it's indeed confidential, then they know that you can trust them. So point number three, they know when to open up, a likable person, and when to keep a confidence. Point number two, the characteristic of extremely likable people, they know who to touch, and then they touch them. Well, the article author notes that when you touch someone during a conversation, you release oxytocin in the brain. That's a hormone, a neurotransmitter that makes their brain associate you with trust and a slew of other positive feelings. A simple touch on the shoulder, a hug, or a friendly handshake is all it takes to release that oxytocin. Of course, you have to touch the right person in the right way to release that oxytocin, as unwanted or inappropriate touching has the opposite effect. They'll shrink away from you. Remember, relationships are built not just from words, but also from general feelings about each other. Touching someone appropriately is a great way to show you care. And of course, we demonstrate that when we see each other with a welcome hug or a goodbye hug, or a communicate that by touch. Jesus Christ set that example. And in his case, many of the touches were healing touches that people were desperate about. And now we see that just even among us, it's a healing touch just to be able to have the touch. And I remember this was 25 years ago at the feast. There was a sermon about a particular tribe in Africa that did not have, in fact, it was touching was really taboo. They didn't show a lot of encouragement or care for the children. There was a high death rate among children who desperately needed that sense of touch for relationship development. Jesus Christ, if we look in Matthew 8 and verses 1 through 3, when Jesus was coming down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, leprosy is a death sentence, but it's very incremental. It's slow at a time, depending on what type of leprosy that it is. And from what I've read, you can lose fingers, toes, little pieces at a time, or come rotting off. And it's a horrible way to go when you die incrementally. And so this leper was desperate and coming before Christ. In verse 3, in Matthew 8, verse 3, "Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And suddenly his leprosy was cleansed." This touch is a healing touch that Christ was demonstrating. And of course, we're on Matthew 8, and we read on to it. Read a few verses down in Matthew 8 to go to verses 14 and 15. "Now when Jesus had come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever," meaning Peter's mother-in-law. "So he," meaning Christ, "touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them." In other words, resumed her daily activities. This whole idea of touch. Now, we went here after the feast. We had the blessing of the little children. We went through those verses about how Christ touched the little children for their blessing and with the laying on of hands. So an exceptionally likable person knows who to touch, and they touch them. Well, that also means they also know who not to touch and when not to touch them, which is just as critical. So that was point two. Point number one is an extremely likable person balances passion and fun. The article goes on to say, "People gravitate toward those who are passionate. That said, it's easy for passionate people to come across as too serious or uninterested, because they tend to get absorbed in their work. Likeable people balance their passion with the ability to have fun. At work, they are serious, yet friendly. They still get things done because they're socially effective in short amounts of time, and they capitalize on valuable social moments. They minimize small talk and gossip and instead focus on meaningful interaction with their coworkers. They remember what you said to them yesterday or last week, and that shows that you're just as important to them as their work." Well, this whole idea of balancing your passion with your productivity and fun is absolutely critical to produce joy. And we read in Galatians 5:22, most of you have memorized it, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and a list of the others. But right up there is joy. And when you have those characteristics, you're demonstrating what God is teaching us. So this Travis Bradbury, the author of the Forbes magazine article on 13 Habits of Extremely Likeable People, reiterated the results of the study. They asked questions. Number 13, they were curious and willing to learn. Number 12, they put away their phones or they focused on paying attention to others. 11th characteristic, they're genuine. They're without guile or deception. Point 10, they don't pass judgment. They weren't quick to condemn. Point 9, they don't seek attention. They demonstrate humility. Point 8, they're consistent. Point nine, they use positive body language to position themselves for success. Point six, they leave a strong first impression. They suit up and they show up, you might say. Point five, they greet people by name. They personalize the relationships. Point four, they smile. They let everyone know that they're a happy person inside, and it shows on the outside. Point three, they know when to open up. In other words, they are careful with their relationships. And point two, they know who to touch, and they touch them. They also know who not to touch and who and when not to touch them. And number one characteristic, they balance passion and fun. They exhibit joy in their lives that other people can attach to. All of these characteristics, as we go over them, and as I look at the person that was at the funeral yesterday, all of them were demonstrated by our departed friend, Paul Erbaum. And over again, whether it was his children, his siblings, his workmates, and others, were all giving the same message, that he practiced these habits of extremely likable people. Well, as we walked away wondering how could we ever live up to this kind of a person, this kind of characteristics that would be universal, that we should all reach toward, we are now reminded every day that we must prepare for the time when we appear before the throne of God and give account of our lives. So let's ask ourselves that question, how likable are we to God?